Okay, Geschmack. So let's jump into the next sugya, starting with a reference point from the past piece of Gemara. In the past piece of Gemara, we had been focused on the idea of kefela and how you know whether something's been osein tam. Do you actually use a human toaim, whether a Jewish or a non-Jewish taster, Yisrael or kefela, or do you fall back on you doing arithmetic and just be Meshayer B'Shishim. But let's go back for now to what in a sense was the most fundamental makar in the previous sugya. So here we are in Chulin, Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Chulin, Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, a couple of lines before the end of the narrow lines, around 5-6 lines up into the narrow lines. Milo Tanya. The Gemara here quotes a Braisa. And as I tell you on the side, it's quoted. This Bryce is also quoted in the previous parak in Parak Giranasha, and it's quoted in Maseches Zvachim, Daf Tzadi Vav Amud Beis. And the source, as you see, is a Tosefta. I tell you on the side, Tosefta and Trumas Parak Ches. And they put on the board specifically. If you open up a Tosefta and Trumas and take a look, it's Parak Ches Halacha Yud Beis. And Tosefta says like this. A pot that you cooked, in which you cooked fleshiks, you should not cook milchiks. So here we go. So here's a pot with which we cooked fleshiks. Obviously it's fleshik because it has red on it, and everyone knows, halacha moshvi sinai, that red stands for fleshiks. I have a fleshik pot. Lo yivashe b'chalav. So the Braisa tells me that this is aser. And he can't put milchiks in a fleshik pot. As we mentioned the other day, this Braisa, this Tosefta and Trumas, is the source for the whole idea of milchik pots and fleshik pots. The fact that the Shomer Torah Mitzvah has two sets of dishes, fleshik dishes and milchik dishes, that comes from this Tosefta. The Mishnah, our Mishnah, Tipas Chalav, on Kufches, has spoken about the milk actually getting into the meat. Tipas Chalav Shenafla Chatichas Basar. That was direct. The milk falls onto the meat. The Tosefta already has one step removed. Instead of the milchik and fleshik meeting directly, the fleshik went into the pot, and 3 hours later, the milchik goes in. So one degree of separation. And the Braisa says, again, in Braisa, Tosefta and Trumas, quoted both here in Chulin as well as in Zvachim, the Tosefta tells me that that the pots become fleshik, and if I put milchiks in, the milchiks could potentially become treif. The flavor could come out of the fleshik pot and go into the milchiks. That we know well. Let's take a look. Now, the next piece of Gemara is to take this to one more step of removal. But before we move on to that, let's see the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch here in Siman Sadi Gimel. So we had seen Sadi Aleph and a little bit Sadi Beis, perhaps. Sadi Aleph and Sadi Beis where the foods are mixing directly, where the milk actually falls into the meat, or where the milk and fleshes are being salted together. That was Sadi Aleph and Sadi Beis. Sadi Gimel already is one step removed. Sadi Gimel is this Tosefta. Here we go. Shulchan Aruch, Siman Sadi Gimel, Sif Aleph, Kedei Rishe Bishu B'Basar, Lo Yivashe B'Chalav. The pot that I use for fleshiks, I have a fleshik pot. You're not allowed to cook milchiks in a fleshik pot. And now here the Shulchan Aruch adds a key concept in formulating the din that appears in our Gemara. Shulchan Aruch adds a key concept. In Bishel Ba, one thing we're going to see is going to be familiar. And one thing we're going to see is something we sort of know of from the outside, but a new and important concept. And this is intensely practical. The new concept we're going to see, I would say, comes up in more of my practical conversations when people call about Basar B'Chalav Shailos. This is one of the most useful concepts to know. In Bishul Ba, let's say you did. So you weren't supposed to cook the milchiks and the fleshik but. Okay, we know that. And now, but the phone call comes because someone messed up. And someone thought they were using the milchik spatula, and in fact, they're using the fleshik spatula. And they made salad. They made eggs and cheese with the fleshik spatula. So now what? Or we thought the soup mix was a par of soup mix, so we made that soup mix in a milchik pot, and it turns out that actually it's a fleishik soup mix. So we accidentally made fleishik soup in a milchik pot. Right? So what happens? What happens? So what do we know so far? From what we've learned so far from the Tosefta, we know, and from what we've been working on the last few days in the previous sugya, we know the one big question is it beno Saint Tom? Right? Is there enough flavor or not? So take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, in Bisha Ba Besoch Me'esleis, if you use it for milchus within 24 hours, we'll come back to that in a moment, Aser beno Saint Tom. It's Aser if it gives flavor. And says the Rama, see the Rama is in the Ksav Rashi, V'tzarech l'shar, can I get kola k'deira? And when you do the math, when you make the shiurim, when you start calculating shishim, you have to calculate against the volume of the entire pot. So what just happened there? So number one, the Shulchan Aruch said b'no Saint Tam, right? As in, taste it. Because the Shulchan Aruch, as we saw in Tzariches, consistently here, Paskins, taste it, kefela. And the Rama right away assumes that you're being mishaer, shiurim, that you're calculating shishim. And that's Rama Lishitaso, as we saw yesterday in Simon Tzadiches, in Hilchos Taruvus. That's what he says here, Tzadi Gimel, in Basis B'chalav. You're not actually, the Rama doesn't think you're actually going to have a human taste tester. You're not going to have a kefela arma. You're not going to bring in Christopher or Muhammad to taste it. No, you're just going to do the math, right? And that's consistent with the minig Ashkenazim you saw in Tzadiches, that Ashkenazim do not rely on a non-Jewish taster. We just do the math. Tzarech l'shar. And then the Rama adds, so this is already a reflection of that machlokas we dealt with yesterday. Rama adds one important point right away, which is, what does 60 mean? If you have a little bit of butter in a pot of chalent, I understand what 60 means. 60 times as much chalent as the pat of butter. But if it's not a pat of butter, if it's a milchik kli, I stuck a milchik ladle accidentally into the chicken soup. So shishim keneged what? Shishim keneged the milchik flavor in the ladle? How much milchik flavor in the ladle? I have no idea. Usually, I don't know. So Rama says, our practice is, imagine that the entire ladle is milchik. Right? The maximum milchik flavor is the volume of the ladle. It says, v'tzarech l'shayar keneged kol hakedera. You have to make sure that there's 60 times as much food as the entire ladle, as the entire pot, whatever that kli is that didn't belong, right? Whether it's that I cooked milchiks in this fleishik pot, or I had a milchik soup and I stuck in a fleishik ladle, whatever the offending kli is, you need 60 times as much milchik food as fleishik pot. 60 times as much milchik food as fleishik ladle. And for all of you fellows who just finished the calculus AP, and I hope it was b'hatzlacha meruba, so you'll be tickled perhaps, this is the aleph base, you'll be tickled perhaps to see the pischei tshuva. You see that little aleph with the parentheses that sends you down to pischei tshuva? Over here, pischei tshuva quotes, he says, you know, the Shach points out how you're gonna starts to figure out how you're gonna assess it. You know, the truth is, let's take a look first at the Shach. Kaloma, the Shach writes right over here, Sifsei Kohen. The Shulchan Aruch said, Yati Menu Kfela. Shulchan Aruch thinks, no Saint Tam. Shulchan Aruch says, have the non-Jewish chef taste it in Yeshbo Tam. Ukidil El Reish Simon Tzadi Beis and Simon Tzadi Ches. That's what we saw yesterday. Right? That's what the Beis Yosef writes. The Harav, which is the Shach's nickname for the Rama, Azulatame. He's going Lashita, so he writes there, Einogim Lismochatima Sovis Gochov, right? Minig Ashkenaz is not to rely on that. Lakach Chasav et Sarach Lashire Neged Kala Kedera. Okay. And then he goes on to talk about, will there ever be 60 times as much in the volume of the pot as the pot itself? So the Shach starts to talk about Nuchush Dadak. Rechava gadol depends how wide the pot is. Depends how thick the pot walls are. This is a nice stainless steel pot with thin walls. If you have a cast iron pot, it has thicker walls. So obviously, all that is going to impact what is the volume of the pot. And we can't leave this page without my showing you the Pizchei Tshuva right here. Sivkan Aleph, Vitzarech L'Sha'er. It says, Ayin Shach, Sivkan Aleph. Okay, take a little Shach, we just did. Mashkach Asla, when would you have the situation where 60 times as much in the contents of the pot as the pot itself? Nuchosh Dadak, Rach V'Gadol, if it's very thin pot wall and very wide pot, a lot of contents. The Ayin B'Sefer Makevas HaMishnah. Here we are on the Pizchei Tshuva. Sivkan Aleph at the bottom. Take a look at the Sefer Makevas HaMishnah. Bekuntres brechos becheshbon, which is a great pun, because he's using the word cheshbon to mean cheshbon, as in mathematical calculation. Sheherich levaer ze al pi hamofes val derech ha. What's that word there? What's that word? He was marich to explain how you do this al derech al pi mofes. That means by mathematical proof val derech ha algebra, and using algebra. There you go. So that's so you will sometimes have to figure out how to calculate this. And if you remember your volume formulas, that might be a little helpful. Alternatively, you might want to, you know, if let's say there was a ladle, the pots are hard. It's often the case that you don't have 60 times as much in the contents of the pot as the pot itself. If it was just they stuck in a ladle, and they stuck a fleishik ladle into the milchik soup, or more likely, they stuck a milchik ladle into the chicken soup, then you have to ask yourself, could you have fit 60 ladles inside the contents of the pot? Sometimes, big pot, small ladle, could be. Remember, 60 is less than 8 by 8. So if you could fit 8 by 8 spoons in the... You could fit 8 by 8 spoons in here, okay. Then we're doing good. So again, once again, let's recap what we have so far. Milchik food in a fleishik pot, fleishik ladle in milchik food, that type of thing. It was usher to do it. If you did it on purpose by accident, probably by accident, hopefully by accident, does it make it treif or I did the wrong thing but we're saved? Do I have to throw out the food or not? It depends. That we saw the brisa and we discussed kfela versus not kfela. Ashkenazim say forget the kfela, just skip straight to the Skip straight to just figure out, is there shishim? 60 times as much food as the offending utensil. If it's a small utensil and a lot of food, you may be safe. That's one way to be safe. And again, use your mofis and your algebra. But there's another way to be safe right here, which is, remember the Shulchan Aruch had said, me'es la'es? Me'es la'es. If you cooked the milchiks, here's my fleishik pot. We accidentally cooked milchiks in the fleishik pot. We accidentally stuck a fleishik ladle into milchik food. So one question you're going to ask is there shishim? The other question, which is actually usually the first question you ask, is was it me'es la'es? Me'es la'es is a fancy way of saying within 24 hours. When was the last time this pot, this has a red sticker on it, it must be fleishik. Not so fast. How fleishik is fleishik? Yes, if this is a fleishik pot, then you need 60 times as much milchiks to dilute the flavor of the fleishik pot. But the Shulchan Aruch says, based on Gemara's and Avodah Zarah, not every fleishik pot is so fleishik. When was the last time it was used for fleishiks? If the last time it was used for hot fleishiks is im shoha me'es la'es kodim shabishal ba, if that pot was sitting unused for 24 hours before I used it accidentally for milchik, if it's no longer within 24 hours of the last use, if all the fleishik flavor, in other words, if all the fleishik flavor in this fleishik pot is more than 24 hours old, and those flavors have been sitting in the walls of the pot for more than 24 hours, havelei no sim tam lefgam umutra hatavshal. If the flavor is more than 24 hours old, it's no longer active. It's no Saint Tom Lufgam. It's going to have a bad taste to it. It's been sitting. It's going to pick up the metallic taste of the pot. So if a flavor is more than 24 hours old, it's no longer an active flavor. It cannot make anything else treif. That's what we call an Eino Ben Yomo. Let's go back to our whiteboard. And let's make some things appear here. So coming back here. So in terms of this, sorry about that. Okay, much better. Okay, so in terms of this brisa that we had seen last time about the fleishiks in the milchik pot, the milchik in the fleishik pot, the fleishik ladle in the milchik soup, the milchik fork that you accidentally use to make salami and eggs. So one issue is kefela, and figure out kefela or shishim, and we possibly can use shishim. You want to figure out how much was there. That's really the second question you would ask. The first question you always ask is it an eno ben yomo? Is the flavor no longer of the same day? Someone calls and asks, yikes, I stuck a milchik pot in the flesh like this, I stuck a this and a that. And the first question is, how fleishik is it? How milchik is that kli? If the last time it was used for hot fleishik, for hot milchik, is more than 24 hours ago, this is still a fleishik pot. Just to be clear, you're not allowed to use, it's an aveira to put milchiks in it. But if I do put milchiks in it, the milchiks won't become treif. It's an Easter hishtamshus. Midirabanan, I'm not allowed to use this pot. Once this became fleishik, until I kasher it, I'm never allowed to use it for milchiks. But that's the Isser lichatchila. Lichatchila, am I allowed to go and do the behavior of putting milchiks in the fleishik pot? For sure not. It doesn't matter if the pot was used for fleishiks 2 hours ago or 2 years ago. I'm not allowed to use it for milchik. But the question of, did the milchik food become treif? Only if the blias in here are still active. And the blias are only active for 24 hours. So if it's been more than 24 hours since the last time this fleishik pot was used for milchiks, then I am safe. Don't use it for milchiks. Excuse me, this is a fleishik pot. The last time this was used for fleishik, so more than 24 hours ago, I'm still not allowed to use it for milchiks, but if I did, the milchiks will remain kosher and milchik. The blias in the pot stop being active after 24 hours. They won't impact anything else. This pot remains a fleishik pot, but it can't make any milchiks treif if the pot is an eno ben yomo, if the blia is more than 24 hours old. That's the first major topic for today. Again, we saw the Shulchan Aruch and Simin Tzadi Gimel who reviews the ideas we had seen about Kedir Shabishu Abbasol Yivashu B'chalav, you putting milchiks in a fleishik pot, fleishiks in a milchik pot, a milchik spoon in fleishik soup, like that degree of separation. So the Shulchan Aruch reviewed what we already saw in the previous sugya about how do you know if it's been osein tam. Kefela, Ashkenazim say only shishim, and the Pischei Tshuva using algebra and mofes to figure out shishim. And then we saw the other major issue that did not come up in our sugya, but is very much a part of this lahalacha, is the issue of eino ben yomo. That the whole discussion, not lechatchila, but the whole discussion b'di'eved, I mean, is the food trade? You have to throw out the food or not. The first question is, how fleishik is that fleishik pot? How milchik is that milchik pot? If the blias are 124 hours old, it's not going to make anything else treif. B'di'avid. B'sha'asa. If it was used in the last 24 hours, you say, I used that pan last night for salami and eggs for supper, and then I used it this morning for eggs and cheese, that's ben yomo. That's within 24 hours. That's toch me'es la'es, as the Shulchan Aruch had said. It's within 24 hours. And then I have to start thinking, hey, the fleishik flavor from last night could have emerged into this morning's eggs and cheese. And not only was it an aveira to use it for eggs and cheese, it might have even made the eggs and cheese treif. So then we have to start thinking about shish. Questions. So this is the first of two segments for today. Questions before we go on. Yeah, sure. Yeah, question. Sure. Does washing the pot make any difference? Good question. Washing a pot makes a difference in the following sense. We're talking about clean pots. Now, what the Tosafta is talking about, and what we've been talking about, is on the assumption that, as you see, this pot is, this fleshig pot is shiny clean. Right? There's no fleshig residue, there's no fleshig gook in the pot. So when I take this cheese and I drop it in the pot, imagine that the pot was hot and that the cheese wasn't in a plastic wrapper. If I start boiling the cheese in the pot, so I'm worried about the flavor, the absorbed fleshig flavor from the walls of the pot emerging into the cheese. We're talking about bleus. We're talking about the absorbed flavor. And so that's the way I say, if this is a clean pot, it's been clean for the last 24 hours, any absorbed flavor is more than 24 hours old, it's an eno ben yomo, it's not of the same day. Those absorbed flavors in the wall of the pot, in the metal of the pot itself, after 24 hours of sitting in the pot wall, they get a metallic taste, and they're not going to make anything else treif, because it's no Saint Tom Lufgam. That flavor is a negative flavor. But that's all assuming that this pot is clean, and the only fleishik concern we have is the bleus, the absorbed flavor of fleishik that's absorbed within the walls of the pot. But let's say, Rachman Salon, the pot was dirty. Let's say we made salami and eggs, and then we never cleaned the pot. So then forget about fancy stuff like, oh, there's absorbed flavor in the walls of the pot. There's fleshy grease. There's residue. So then that's not a question of bleos and eno ben yomo. If I have a pot that stays dirty in the sink for 3 days, that's still fleshy. The gook stays fleshig, the gook. Unless it spoils, but there's no order. The idea of the 24-hour expiration—that's only for the absorbed flavor in the walls of the pot. In other words, that the pot is clean. There's no residue. There's no be'en, beis ein yud nun. There's no be'en on the surface. It's just a question of the bleos, the absorbed flavor inside the pot itself. In Shulchan Aruch, they do make the assumption. Postman should point that we assume that pots are clean. The poskim did not always assume that your knives were clean, because back in the old day, before modern, we'll get to that, not today, before modern cleaning technology, like running hot water and sponges and good detergent, so it was sometimes difficult to get your knives clean without, you know, cutting your fingers. So the assumption was that knives were not always clean. Nowadays, we can safely assume that knives are clean too. But even in the old days, they assumed pots and pans and plates are clean. People clean their stuff when they're done. Now, the assumption of poskim is that we should not be, or we should be definitely be Hamish, but not overly Hamish in that sense. Yeah, one more question, Shua? Oh, Gevaldik. You guys probably think that I paid Shua off to ask that question. Because what we've been talking about up until now, the Tosefta and Trumos and Simon Sadi Gimel was, as I said, one degree of separation. Not that the Milchix falls on the Fleishix, but that the Milchix is in the Fleishix pot. Right? And for that, we said two major issues. One issue is Ben Yomo versus Eino Ben Yomo, which again, wouldn't work. A piece of meat that sits out for 3 days is still fleshig, but a fleshig pot that's been that way for 3 days without being used, ain't a ben yomo, okay? And even if it's a ben yomo, we have to figure out shishim. That's halacha l'maisa. You stuck, we made salami and eggs in the fleshig pan, but we accidentally used the milchik spatula. We accidentally stuck in a milchik spoon, a milchik fork into the steaming hot salami and eggs on the fire. So, halach l'maisa, that could happen. And now you know the two major questions are, number one, well, the salami and eggs is clearly fleishik, but how milchik was that milchik spoon that you stuck in? Was it used for hot milchiks in the last 24 hours or not? That's question number one. So either way, the spoon became fleishik, and it's also milchik. So you're going to have to kasher the spoon. But in terms of the pan, the fleishik pan, and the fleishik food, the salami and eggs, if that milchik spoon is more than 24 hours old, I mean, it was last used for milchiks more than 24 hours ago, it's an eino ben yomo, then right away your salami and eggs stay kosher. Or if it was used for hot milchiks 12 hours ago, so then we have to move on to shishim. Maybe I could say it's a small spoon. It's big salami and eggs. So maybe whatever milchic flavor that might have been in the spoon became batel b'shishim. So in either scenario, the spoon always needs to be kashered. Because the spoon just got, it's a milchic spoon, it's just got a fresh dose of fleishik flavor. So the spoon goes on the side, it doesn't have to be thrown in the garbage, but it's going to go on the side, it's going to have to be kashered. But if either the spoon is Einu Ben Yomo, or the spoon is batel b'shishim, so then the salami and eggs stays kosher. So that's that sugya of Simin Sadi Gimel, of Kedera Shabisha Babasa Loivasha Bachalav, the one degree of separation, milchik food in a fleshik pot, fleshik food in a milchik pot, that's that sugya in a nutshell. There obviously are more details, and if this comes up halachal masi, you should definitely ask a shayla, but you are now prepared to ask an intelligent shayla. And you won't be shocked when the rabbi starts asking you, well, when was the last time you used that for milchik? You're like, who cares? I'm not talking about that. That was fine. I want to know about sticking a milchik spoon into salami and eggs. No. That's why his first question will be, okay, well, when was the last time you used that milchik spoon for milchik? Right? That's because of Einu Ben Yomo. Then he may also start talking about how much salami and eggs were in the pan, and trying to figure out the question of shishim. If your rav is Sephardi, he may instead ask if you have an extra neighbor who wants to taste your salami and eggs and see if it tastes milchik. Okay. If your rav is Ashkenazi, he's just going to jump straight into the second question. We're going right into shishim. Yes. Now Shua takes us to the next Shua's question about, let's say I didn't put milchiks in the fleishik pot. I put noodles in the fleishik pot. So that's the next sugya where we're headed right now. But first, a question from Nisanel Yitzchak Dietz. Sure. Ah, so I'm glad you actually took up the Pischei Tshuva on his discussion of mathematics. Fantastic. So before we leave the world of Shishim, Nisal Yitzchak wants to know, let's think for a moment together what it means to assess Shishim. So remember, let's go back to first principles. The original case of Shishim was where the milchiks and fleishiks are directly interacting, right? What in Yaradei is Simin Sadi Alv Tzadi Beis, what goes takes us back to how we started all of this, the Mishnah on Kuvches. Mishnah Sadi Vav, the Mishnah on Kuvches, right? You have the Ger HaNasha in the flank of meat, or you have the drop of milk, the Tipas Chalav, falling onto the piece of meat. So when we said Shishim there, what do we mean by Shishim? What we meant was volume, right? I have 1 teaspoon of milk falling into how many teaspoons of chicken soup? Because again, what we're thinking about is dilution. Right? That's what the Gemara in Sadi Zion had said, Amar Rabban B'Shishim, right? Sometimes we use Shishim. The idea of Shishim is, it's a way of, as we discussed the other day, it's a rule of thumb without actually asking a taste tester to figure out, would you taste anything? So practically speaking, but if you're dealing with normal foods, again, flavors and spice, flavor concentrates and spices work differently. And there is no din of batel b'shishim. You put a few drops of vanilla extract into something, it's not batel b'shishim, but that's because that's an extract. That's a flavor concentrate or a spice. Obviously, you know, black pepper is not batel b'shishim. That's the poskim point on Shulchan Aruch. We're talking about normal foods. Normal foods are not concentrated. You know, sometimes one food will be batel and the other one in 1 in 40, 1 in 50, 1 in 35, depends on the food. So once you hit 1 in 60, almost any normal food would be batel flavor-wise in some other food. Now, when you talk about dilution, obviously we're talking about either mass or volume. Right? How much stuff and how much stuff. So Lamaisa, the way the halacha, the shiur that Chazal gave, the rule of thumb, Amar Rabbanan B'Shishim, they said, once it's 1 to 60, you can, you know, rest assured that unless this is a flavor concentrate or a spice, you can rest assured that X is batel and Y, if there's at least 60 times as much Y as X, that doesn't have to do with surface area. That's to do with how much stuff there is. And we measure how much by volume. We could have measured by mass. Lamaisa Chazal said measure by volume. Don't weigh it. Just see how much space it takes up. So when you think about a pot also, what we're saying is, instead of, you know, some drops of some pieces of meat falling into my milchik soup, my milchik soup sat inside this fleishik pot. Right? So what's the concern? Well, I used the fleishik pot for fleishik last night, so it absorbed fleishik. I used it for meatballs last night, so some flavor of meat got absorbed into this pot. So it could be that some of the flavor of meat came out into the milchik soup. That's our concern. How much fleishik flavor would have come out? Hard to know for sure. So the Rama quotes from the Chachmei Ashkenaz, look, there can't be more fleishik flavor here than the entire volume of the pot. Now, worst case scenario, use your imagination. Imagine this is just one piece of meat. There can't be more fleishik flavor than the actual volume of the metal itself. In reality, it's obviously much less. But it's so hard to know. So that's why generally there are exceptions, but generally we say we'll be machmir for the maximum. The worst case scenario is imagine the entire volume of all this metal was slices of meatball. So if there's 60 times more milchik soup than the entire volume of the metal pot, so then clearly there's way more than 60 times as much soup as any fleishik flavor that was absorbed into the pot. So that's what the Rama had said again here, Simin Tzadi Gimel, that Tzarech L'Shayer Keneged Kol HaGeder, that we're Meshayer against the entire volume of the pot. In general, that's what there are exceptions, but in general, that's what we do. Okay, so that closes up, coming back to our whiteboard again, so that closes up the discussion, and again, there are more details, but that closes up the core principles of Kederi Shebisha Babasa Lo Yivasha Bachav. And that is again, Simon Tzadi Gimel. Right? As we saw the beginning of it, Shulchan has some more details, but that's the topic again. We said before, Tzadi Alv, Tzadi Beis starts with the Basar and Chav directly interacting, one's falling into the other, hot, salty, what have you. Simon Tzadi Gimel already is one step removed. And Tzadi Dalet continues that as well. And then we come to the next piece of Gemara. And that was Shua's question. Let's say I didn't put milchik food into the fleishik pot. I put power food into the fleishik pot. This happens all the time. Right? Especially some kitchens have a very large stock of power pots and some don't. So let's say I don't have so many power pots. Or, so I made my broccoli in a fleishik pot. Or, I was planning to serve the broccoli with a fleishik supper. So I made the broccoli in a fleishik pot. I made the noodles. I made the pasta in a fleishik pot. And then there's leftovers. So I have leftover pasta from last night. So if the meatballs splashed on the pasta, then obviously the pasta is fleishik. But it didn't. We kept it separate. I didn't even bring all the spaghetti out to the table. But I made it in the fleishik pot. So let's imagine I made spaghetti in this. This is a small fleishik pot. Okay, we have to be a very small amount of spaghetti. But we'll use our imagination. I could not fit a large... I don't think I could fit a large pot into the Zoom screen. So we'll have to make do with something small, right? So I made vegetables in the fleishik pot. I made pasta in the fleishik pot. Tomorrow afternoon for lunch, we have shirayim. So now, tomorrow afternoon for lunch, I want to have leftover broccoli melted. I'll melt cheese over the broccoli. I'll melt cheese over the pasta. Now what? So that's two steps removed. Right? It's not that the flavor, the previous sugya, Simon Tzadi Gimel, the tosefta of Keder Shabisha Babasar, was two steps. Right? The flavor goes from the meat into the pot, and then next time I use the pot for milchiks, the flavor goes from the pot into the milchiks. But here it's three steps removed. Right? I put pasta in the pot. So the fleishik flavor last night went from meatballs into the pot, and this morning goes from the pot into the spaghetti. So what's that? Is it spaghetti fleishik? Or spaghetti parv? So that is the next piece of Gemara. Take a look. Simon. Take a look at Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Itzmar. And this is what the Gemara refers to as Dagim Sha'alu Bika'ara. You see that on the board as well. Dagim Sha'alu Bika'ara. I have fish that I put on a hot fish on a fleshik plate. Not milchiks, not hot milchiks. I didn't put pizza. I put hot pizza on a fleshik plate. That's a real problem. How about I put part of a fish? Itmar, two dots, the first white line, kufid alfa and beis. Dogim sha'olu b'kaira. Dogim sha'olu b'kaira. Dogim sha'olu b'kaira, a fish that went hot onto a plate. Take a look at Rashi. Dogim sha'olu b'kaira, the fish that were on the plate. Min hatzli kishahein roschen. I was grilling salmon. I was broiling sole. I was broiling flounder. And I take it off the fire. Kishahein roschen. They're still hot. Nesanin lesocha ka'ara sha'ochlu abasa. And I take the hot fish, hot off the fire, steaming hot fish, and I put it onto a plate on which they had eaten fleshiks. So I put the hot fish onto a clean fleshik plate. So hot fish, we're concerned that it could draw fleshik flavor out of the plate. So Rav Amar also achel mekutach, Shmuel Amar mutal achel mekutach. Can I eat the fish with, we've seen kutach before, right? That's that milchik sauce, that yogurt sauce, right? Or to use our example, I had broccoli in the fleshik pot. I had noodles. I had pasta in the fleshik pot. And now, I'm not putting the cheese in the pot. But now, I took the pasta out. I took the broccoli out. And now I want to sprinkle on some cheese. So did the dugin become fleshik? Did the pasta become fleshik? Did the broccoli become fleshik? Dairy equipment. That's what this is. Again, clean. Going back to Shua's point from before. If the pan still has fleshik grease on it, so it's not just a question of kalim. But oh, the kalim are clean. My kalim are clean, but I have the power of a food was in a fleshik kli. Is it fleshik or can I eat it with milchiks? Can I eat it with kutach, with a milchik sauce? Rav says aser and Shmuel says mutter. Machlokas amoraim, if this fish became fleshik or not. Why? So Rav Amar, no sin tamu. Rav says, look, it has the flavor of fleshiks. We believe in tam ke'ikr. Right? That's what all the Mishnayos and Brises are telling us. But no sin tam. So, this is going to have, if this fish has a fleshik flavor, or in our example, the pasta, the broccoli has a fleshik flavor, it's a problem. And Shmuel says, no, it's mutter, no sin tam, bar no sin tam. It's a no sin tam, the son of a no sin tam. This is because this is two steps removed. It's not that the fleshik flavor went into the pot and then directly into milchiks. No, it went into pasta. And then I want to, can I have the pasta with milchiks? That's one more step removed. So that's not a no sein tam. It's a no sein tam bar no sein tam. Now that's a real mouthful. No sein tam bar no sein tam. So if you look at the whiteboard, you'll see that there's a no sin tam, bar no sin tam, is aka, otherwise known as a not bar not. Nun tes for short. If you heard that terminology, oh, it's a not bar not. So not bar not is the halachic terminology for food made in dairy, power food made in dairy equipment, or power food made in fleshik equipment. Again, with the original case the Gemara had was dugim sha'olu b'ka'ara. That the fish were in the milchik, the fish were in the milchik pan. Ah, so the Gemara says, Rav says, what does it matter? It has a fleshik flavor, and Shmuel says it's a big difference. It's not the same as the case before. Keder shebishlam basar loy vashvachav. This is not barnat. This is an extra step removed. So Rav apparently held, I don't care about how many steps it is. And Shmuel said, we do care about how many steps it is. And then Gemara goes on to tell a story. Gemara says, Rav never actually said this. Rav never said this, but it came up in different conversations, different scenarios. This came up in different scenarios that happened. They indicated that Shmuel was Mekel, that Rav was Machmir. The Gemara tells us, one of the stories the Gemara tells Okay, actually, one of the stories the Gemara tells, right after the bays in the parentheses of the Bach. You see that? The bays in parentheses of the Bach. The Gemara tells the story of Rav Huna v'Rav Chia bar Ashi, Havu Yasvi, two Amoraim, Talmidim of Rav and Shmuel. Rav Huna v'Rav Chia bar Ashi. So they have a Yasvi Chad Bahaigisa de Mavra de Surava Chad Bahaigisa de Mavra. On two sides of the river or the ford near the town of Sura. Sura is one of the major Jewish communities in Babel. Not only that, it was one of the most significant yeshivas in Jewish history. One of the major yeshivas of the Amoraim was in Sura. So apparently there was a river that ran through it, which was the case for many big cities. People tend to build communities at rivers, at water sources. So these two great Amoraim are on opposite sides of the river. They're having a conversation across, very fascinating. Aisu le dagim sha'alu b'kaira. Lamar, Aisu le dagim sha'alu b'kaira v'achal b'kutach. One of them gets, they bring him, apparently there are two restaurants on two different sides of the river. So one of them, they serve him dagim sha'alu b'kaira. Fish that had been made in a fleshik pot, and va'achal bakutach, and he ate it with milchik sauce. And the other one, they gave dessert. That's what it sounds like. The other one gets lamar isolate te'enim va'navim besocha suda va'achal v'lo barich. So one of them takes the dairy, the fleshik equipment, fish, and dips it in milchik sauce. The other one, they bring him fruit te'enim va'navim, the meal of the meal. And he didn't make bar pira eitz on the fruit. So now each one attacks the other one. Mar Amal Chaver one says Yasma, Avad Rabachachi. He says insult. He says, what is this? You're not connected to your Rebbe. You're orphaned from your Rebbe. You're Yasam. Your Rebbe wouldn't have done that. And the other one says Yasma, Avad Rabachachi. One says your Rebbe would have eaten dagim sha'olu b'kaira and milchiks. Chas v'shalom. What is this? You're not following your Rebbe. Another one says, your Rebbe would have eaten fruit meal and meal without a bracha. Chas v'shalom. What are you doing? Assassin, this conversation. Imagine the scene. It's like across the river. I don't know how big this river was. It couldn't have been that wide if they were able to talk to each other. They weren't using cell phones. So each one says, what are you doing? He says, what are you doing? And then they each explain. I'll teach you something. So Mar Amar LeLechavra, here we are, four lines from the bottom of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. One says to his friend, Anaka Shmuel Svirli, I don't hold like Rav on the issue of Dagim Sha'ol B'Kaira. I hold like Shmuel. The Dagim Sha'ol B'Kaira are pariv, you can eat them with kutach. Omar Amar LeLechavra, the other one says, Anaka B'Chia Svirli, I hold like Reb Chia. The Tani Reb Chia, Paspater is called Mini Meichel, Yayin Poter called Mini Mashkin, that you don't have to make a bracha on fruit in the middle of the meal. Interesting. So from this story, you already get the sense that even the Talmidei Rav, let's focus, it's interesting, Bracha's piece also, but obviously we're focused on the Bas Bechalov question. It seems like even the Talmidei Rav in the next generation were noted to Paschim like Shmuel. So it's not shocking that the Gemara now gives a Psak Halach HaLamayisa. Amar Chizki Meshum Abaye. Second to last line, Hilchasa, Psak Halacha, Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, dairy equipment, is it parv or is it milchik? Fleshik equipment, is it parv or is it fleshik? So the Gemara says, Hilchasa. We're just going to read the first line of the Hilchasa. We're going to leave the next line of the Hilchasa for next time. Dagim sha'olu bekaira mutar la'achlon bekutach. If you have the fish that was in the pan, you're allowed to serve it. You're allowed to serve it with milchiks. So there is the bottom line of the Gemara, we passing like Shmuel, as Rav's own Talmidim were already starting to passing like Shmuel. The dairy equipment, from the simple reading of the Gemara, dairy equipment food is parav. How about that? Right? That's what the Gemara said. Dagim sha'olu b'ka'ara mutar la'achlan b'kutach. That is what the Gemara appears to say. That's what the Gemara appears to say. Now, you might be wondering, you know, but I heard that I've seen the some hashkachas give hashkacha and it says DE, dairy equipment. Right? And I've heard correctly that when food is made in dairy equipment, the OU will just put an OUD. And you say, one second, but it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says dairy equipment food is parv. I mean, the Gemara's example is fleshic equipment. Dagum shalo bakaira, you can eat it with cheese sauce. You can eat it with yogurt sauce, and vice versa. If I made the fish and I made the pasta in a milchik pot, I could eat it tomorrow. Assuming it didn't get any actual milchiks on it, no cheese got on it, I could have the pasta with, I could have the spaghetti with meatballs. That's what our Gemara appears to say. So, and by the way, that is what Sfardim actually do. Sfardim follow the simple reading of our Gemara. Sfardim would say dairy equipment is hetagamar. Where is Ita? Does this sound familiar? Itamar? Kacha kacha. Kacha kacha. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, can you guys see the Shulchan Aruch now? Is it shared with you? If you look in Shulchan Aruch, there we go. Simon Sadi. Hey, for now, let's just take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. Maran HaMechaber, Rav Yosef Karo, Paschal's for Sfardim. Dagim, here we have Simon Sadi. Hey, this is again two steps removed, not by knots. This is Simon Sadi. Hey, Dagim, Shenizbashu, Shenitzel, Bekadeir, Shalbasar. I have fish that were cooked or that were grilled in a fleshic equipment. Rechutza Yafe. Assuming that the fleshic equipment was well cleaned, as we were talking about earlier, she ain't shum shuman davukba, it has no fleshic grease. If there's fleshic grease, then forget about the equipment. There's actually some fleshic grease that got into the fish. I mean, that takes that's more of a concern. But if it's just clean fleshic equipment, Shulchan Aruch says mutar leachlam bekutach. The fish made in fleshic grilled on a clean fleshic grill. Don't try this at home on a grill, because usually your barbecue is, grills tend to be hard to clean. But if I fried fish, let's not talk about grilling, because practically speaking, it'd be hard to have a really squeaky clean fleshic grill. But let's say I have a squeaky clean fleshic pan. That's not so hard to have. And I used this pan last night for salami and eggs. And now this morning, the pan is nice and clean, and I fried fish in it. I made breaded flounder in the fleshic pan. Shulchan Aruch says for Sfardim, mutar l'achol bekutach. Go ahead, take that fish and sprinkle on the butter. Go ahead, take the pasta from the fleshic pot, put it on a plate, and sprinkle on the cheese. Take the broccoli from the fleshic pot and sprinkle on the cheese. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. He says, "Mushum tahavi no sentam bar no sentam deteira." It's a not bar not. He says, "Look, if the pan is dirty, the pan is still greasy with fleshics. That's obviously more than a not bar not. There you have the fleshy grease going directly into the fish, going directly into the broccoli. But if it's clean, not bar not is mutter." And he goes on to say in Siv Beis, we're not going to see the Rama today. We're going to leave the Rama for tomorrow. Shulchan Aruch goes on to say here in Siv Beis, Beitza shenas bashl b'mayim b'kedera choleves. I made an egg in water in a milchik pot. So I boiled eggs in a milchik pot. Mutter laseis osa besochai tarnagolas. You're allowed to take that egg and put it inside a chicken. Again, this was a tablescape style of the 1500s and the 1300s. You take the egg, it was apparently artistic. You took the egg, and you made the egg, and then you put the egg back inside the chicken. I guess it's supposed to be cute, because the egg originally came from the chicken? Not really sure. But anyways, you want a different type of deviled eggs? Not really sure. But whatever it is, you want to put a boiled egg inside a cooked chicken. Okay. So the question is, do I care what you made the egg in? So the Shulchan Aruch says, no, I don't care. You can make it in a milchik pot. As long as the pot is clean, he says, if you cooked it in the pot with meat, then it's fleishik. Cook the pot with milk, then it's milchik. But if it's a clean, empty milchik pot, a clean, empty fleishik pot, and I just had water and eggs, so that is a not bar not. And the Gemara said, Matula achol makutach. Gemara said it's all parv. So that is the Gemara, and the Shulchan Aruch follows a simple reading of the Gemara. The Ramah does not, yesh machmirim. And once again, we have to figure out, how is Ramah, the same question ran last week, how is Ramah machmir against the Gemara? What does it mean, yesh machmirim? The Gemara is pretty clear. Gemara paskind. Ramah is Rav and Shmuel Hilchus, so we paskin like Shmuel. So why is Ramah being machmir? So Mirzim, tomorrow morning, we're going to complete the sugya. We're going to see, tomorrow we're going to take a look at two Rishonim on this sugya. We'll take a look at the Ran, which is a generally important point to explain the lumdus of the sugya, and to limit it in one way, which the Shulchan Aruch accepts, and then we're going to see Tosfos. Tosfos has a machlokas, early Balya Tosfos, about how to read the sugya, and the machlokas, Shulchan Aruch Ramah, is really that machlokas and Tosfos. So let's end for now by going back to the whiteboard. Okay. So we spent time today, number one, on Kederi Shebishu Abasai Vashu B'chalop, the Tosefta and the previous sugya. One step of removal, milchik food and fleishik pot, fleishik food and milchik pot, milchik ladle and fleishik ladle and milchik food, where one type of kli goes into other type of food. So he said, as the Gemara says, you have to figure out if it's beno saint tam or not, which for Sfaradim you do with kefela, and for Ashkenaz you just do with shishim and algebra and geometry, figure out the volumes. That's question two, based on our sugya, but question one, based on Gemara's and Avodah Zarah, is Eino Ben Yomo. This whole story only gets started if it's a Ben Yomo, if it's within 24 hours. But Eino Ben Yomo, again, equals the absorbed. Oh, sorry for that. The absorbed flavor is. The absorbed flavor is more than 24 hours old. Eino Ben Yomo, it does not matter. Again, to be clear, you're not allowed. There's an Isser Lechatchil, there's an Isser Maisa. It's usser to use a fleishik pot with milchik, even if it's more than 24 hours old. There's an Isser Hishtamshus. Do not, Chalila, walk into your kitchen and start using milchik pots for fleishik because Eino Ben Yomo. It's an Isser Pu'ula. But it doesn't make the food treif. You're not allowed to use it. It's Isser Hishtamshus. But the food, that if you did it, if you violated, and you taka did put milchiks into a fleishik pot, or vice versa, the food only becomes treif b'dieved if the flavor is ben yomo. If the flavor in the pot is within 24 hours, so it's still an active flavor. And then if you're dealing with an active flavor, then you have to think about shishin. Okay. So those are the two issues that came up in the Keder Shebishul Abasar, the Simen Sadi Gimel. Then we open the discussion, which we'll complete tomorrow, because I want to be sensitive to time, of Dagim Sha'olu Bika'ara. This next piece of Gemara, where it's one step removed. Not that I put milchik food in the fleishik pot, but I put power of food in the fleishik pot. What's the status of power of food that was cooked in a fleishik pot? So you saw some machlokes amoraim. The Gemara is clear that we pass on like Shmuel that it is parav. The Shulchan Aruch, so far we saw, gives the unsurprising psak, like the Gemara. You power food in a clean fleishik pot, power food in a clean milchik pot, it stays parav. Not par not is mutter. The Ramah does not say that, and that's because there's more to the sugya than we have seen so far. Now just look at, for a moment, the bottom of the whiteboard. It has put out some marmakomos. The marmakomos we saw so far are these. Right, the major marmakomos we saw this morning, we looked at Shulchan Aruch and Yerodeh, Sa'ad Gimel, Sivkanav. He looked at the Shach and the Pischei Tshuva. Sham, over there in Sadi Gimel, Sivkanav. And then we saw the Gemara here by Dag Mishalu Bika'ara. We're going to be moving on, and we did also see actually. We also saw today Yaradeya Sadihei Aleph to Beis, right? That we saw as well. Tomorrow, Mircham, we're going to move on to see the Ran and Tosus, and then we'll come back to the Ramah and figure out how the Ashkenazim paskin and figure out the five kulos of not bar not for Ashkenazim. So that's coming attractions tomorrow. What we're going to do now, as advertised, we're trying to do this in a flipped fashion. So we started with Shir, and now you're going to sit down with your Chavrusa in a little more than an hour to plug away and Chazer. You heard a lot. The recording is going to go up very, very soon if that's helpful. Or if that's helpful later in the afternoon. But right now you can sit down with your chavrusa. We'll try this flipped format. Sit in your chavrusa and now chazer. Chazer inside. You have the Mar Mokomos in front of you. You already heard the pieces put together. Now let's hammer it out with our chavrusas. You have an hour, a little more than an hour. Now we're gonna head into breakout rooms right now for chavrusas.